Today's gospel begins our Lord's famous Sermon on the Mount. His Sermon on the Mount is found in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of St. Matthew's gospel. Today's gospel, the first 12 verses of chapter 5 of St. Matthew's gospel, is called the Beatitudes. Beatitude comes from the Latin word beatitudine, meaning blessed. There are eight Beatitudes. Eight times Jesus says, blessed are the blank. Our students have to memorize the Ten Commandments, but do they memorize the eight Beatitudes? Some have called the Beatitudes a condensed summary of the teachings of Jesus and the very foundation of our Christian life. Not only are the Beatitudes the summary of the Sermon on the Mount, they're the summary of the whole gospel. St. Augustine calls the Beatitudes the perfect code, the perfect moral code of the Christian life. St. Thomas Aquinas says that every blessing in life is included in the Beatitudes. In his book, The Eight Doors of the Kingdom, Father Jacques Philippe says that the Beatitudes are a complete treatise on the spiritual life. They show what we are called to be as Christians, what it really means to live the gospel. They describe true human and spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. They're the portrait of the mature Christian. The mature Christian in Christ. They sum up the most perfect realization of what it means to be a human being. The Beatitudes are the way to spread love and inspire others to true life. The Beatitudes are intrinsically interrelated, Father Jacques Philippe says. We cannot truly live one without living them all. They're inseparable, right? If we're going to have a healthy orchestra, we need all the instruments playing together, not just the French horns. We need the tuba and the trumpet and the trombone. We need all of the stringed instruments and the woodwinds all playing together. If we're going to have a healthy football team, I don't need a bunch of quarterbacks. I need everyone playing their individual positions well and in harmony together. All the Beatitudes work in harmony. You can't have one without the other. Many of you know that St. Ignatius of Loyola established a 30-day retreat and an 8-day retreat. Wouldn't it be great to have an 8-day retreat on the Beatitudes? Wouldn't it be a blessing to have one full day to meditate on each of the eight Beatitudes? Here's a 5-minute retreat. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Not those who are physically poor, but poor in spirit. Those who recognize their need for God and His grace. They are open, empty, poor to receive the grace of God. The poor in spirit are dependent on God. They're detached from this world because they find their security in the Lord, rather than on their good looks, on their hard work and their brilliant intelligence or material wealth. They are completely dependent on God for everything. Blessed are those who mourn, not only those who mourn for their family member and friends who have died, not only those who are in physical and emotional and mental and spiritual pain, but also those who are weeping for their sins and weeping for the sins of mankind. Blessed are the meek. Some translations say blessed are the humble. Meek, humble. But as we know, meek does not mean weak. far from being weak, the meek, the humble, possess an inner strength to restrain their anger. They possess an inner strength not to be discouraged in the midst of adversity. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The Spanish translation that I'll do later says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. Many English translations say that as well. Justice is giving others what is their due, what is owed to them. That's justice. Righteousness is to live in a right relationship with God. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness yearn to live rightly according to the will of God. Righteousness has to do with being right with God and his will. Blessed are the merciful. Not only do we hunger and thirst for justice, but we should hunger and thirst for mercy and show mercy. The mercy we have received from God, we extend to others. The merciful imitate the Father's mercy by extending forgiveness to others, by forgiving all injuries, even your enemy, even the person you don't like. Being merciful means bearing wrongs patiently and also practicing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart. Pure of heart. Of course, this means undefiled by lustful and evil thoughts, but it also means making sure your motives are pure. Those who live with integrity, someone described this beatitude. Those who live with integrity, those who have no guile or duplicity, who say one thing here and say another thing over here, who say one thing over here and think something different over here. Pure of heart, pure intentions, pure motives, living with integrity. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who, as Jesus will say later in the Sermon on the Mount, turn the other cheek. Those who sow seeds of peace, James 3:18. Those who live in peace with everyone, Hebrews 12:14. Ultimately, being a peacemaker means introducing everyone to Jesus. Because only Jesus can bring us peace. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives peace, do I give peace. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. I have a priest friend that says there are a lot of just reasons why you might want to insult me and persecute me and utter every evil against me because of me and my sinfulness and weaknesses. The question here is, are you being persecuted because of Jesus? That's a different question. Lots of people are being persecuted, but not because of Jesus. And there are the eight Beatitudes. You see how we could do an eight-day retreat and meditate on each Beatitude for a whole day? The Beatitudes describe true human and spiritual maturity. They are the portrait of a mature Christian in Christ. They sum up the most perfect realization of human existence, what it means to be human. People often ask me, Father, how do we solve the problems in our world today of violence and terror and war and fighting and tension and divisions in our own backyard and halfway around the world? How do we solve these problems? The answer is always the same. It's been the same for the last 2,000 years. The answer is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the answer. I gave you the answer last week. The answer to all of our problems is that every person on the planet would think like Jesus. That every person on the planet would love like Jesus. How does Jesus think? How does Jesus love? The Beatitudes. He loves the poor in spirit because he can fill them up with himself. He loves the humble and the lowly because he can exalt them. He loves those who mourn because he can comfort them. He loves the persecuted for his sake because they suffer with him. He thinks the merciful and the pure of heart and the peacemakers and those who hunger and thirst that God's will be done, he thinks that these people are truly blessed. How can we change the world? If every person lives the Beatitudes. That's it. If every person lives these Beatitudes in harmony, in concert. So as we mourn our sins and the sins of our brothers and sisters in Christ, as we hunger and thirst for justice, as we are persecuted and insulted for the sake of Christ, pray for the grace to be pure of heart, pure motives, no enjoyment when people suffer. Pray for the grace to be meek and humble, controlling our anger. Pray for the grace to be merciful and forgiving, even to your arch enemy. Pray for the grace to be a peacemaker, no hate, no violence for violence. The Beatitudes are intrinsically interrelated. We cannot live one without living them all. They are inseparable. And of course, the blessings of the Beatitudes will be fully realized in heaven, not on this earth. Yes, some do promise blessings that are partially enjoyed in this life, but all of them look beyond the struggles and hardships of this life to eternal blessedness in the life to come. They look for heaven. They can't be fully realized here. Only in the next life can we have perfect beatitude, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You will inherit the promised land of heaven. You'll be satisfied in heaven. You'll be comforted in heaven. So rejoice and be glad if you live the Beatitudes, for your reward will be great, not here, but in heaven. As our Blessed Mother told St. Bernadette Soubirous, she appeared in France some 150 years ago. She said to St. Bernadette, I do not promise you beatitude in this life, but in the next.